Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Tony Gonzalez, one of the great tight ends, if not the greatest of all time. Most receiving yards and receiving touchdowns in Chiefs franchise history, and he is on Fox NFL Kickoff every weekend. He is joining me now live. So I was saying this about the Chiefs is that, you know, for every other team in the league, you know, you can tell they're in a real struggle. Both Breeze and Brady last night, not everything works. You know, you're struggling. And then you watch Kansas City's first six, seven drives with Mahomes, and he's limping around, and it just looks so easy. And maybe it's because of the speed, but in your entire NFL career, was there a season where you felt like, yeah, we got better players, this is just pretty easy?
Yeah. Yeah, well, my 16th year in the league with Matt Ryan and Roddy White and Michael Turner and Julio Jones, that's when we stepped out on the field. I was like, there's nothing you can do to stop us. If we don't beat ourselves, then you're at the mercy of what – I don't care what defense. And we did that. We pretty much did that until we lost, and we didn't lose because we couldn't move the ball. We moved the ball up and down the field. And I think that's kind of what's going on in Kansas City right now. They are so much faster, so much quicker, efficient. You got Andy Reid. He's on his game right now. Like we talked about it. He's like a Willy Wonka. You know, There is no place I know that could compare to pure imagination. He's coming up with these plays that guys are coming wide open because they have the speed. They have the talent. They've been together. That's another thing. Continuity, togetherness. These guys are all on the same page. It's like a great basketball team where they're together so long. They know each other's moves. There was a play in the game in Kansas City, and I think you showed it, where Patrick Mahomes – comes off the receiver, and it was Kelce. And Kelce dips in and goes back out. It wasn't part of the play. This is all ad lib. This is all ad lib. It's just like playing pickup basketball, but they read each other's thoughts, and that's why they're so dangerous. That's why I still have them in the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl, because I don't know who's going to be able to stop them for four quarters straight.
So when you watch Buffalo and Lamar Jackson, what are we now to make of Lamar? You know, I said earlier that nobody bailed on Philip Rivers. We knew he wasn't athletic. We knew there were things he couldn't do. And so you just kept building around Philip Rivers. James Harden, we've watched him in the playoffs. Like, there's things he can't do. And I look at Lamar and I'm like, boy, there's a lot he can do. I know maybe, you know, his receiving core is not real good. What do you make when you watch Lamar average 30 a game in the regular season and now through four playoff games average 13? It doesn't look quite the same. What do you do?
Geez, you know, I've been thinking about that too, because he's such a talent. But I believe right now in his career, when you there's a cap to what he can do. I mean, obviously he needs to keep working on his mechanics and throwing the ball down the field, throwing the ball to the outside of the numbers. He has to become that complete player. When you get to the playoffs and you play against these really good defenses, you know what they're gonna. They know what Lamar is going to do. He, for him to be really successful, and I don't knock him for this. It is what he does. He has to run the football. He has to run it with his legs. He is not particularly a top line passer, not a slicer and dicer. He needs to keep working on that. He needs to keep getting better at that, and he can during the offseason. Because we know what he can do with his legs, and he will do that with his legs. But I think it's going to be this way. This is going to be the recipe for his career until he can go out there and start making those throws down the field. And maybe they get him better players. Maybe they can get him another tight end or whatever it is, another receivers. But right now, the way it looks, I think this is going to be a repeat pattern. He's going to be a good quarterback. He's going to be a great quarterback. He's going to get you to the playoffs. But when you get to the playoffs, you play against those really good teams. It's about winning Super Bowls for him. He's a superstar. I judge him now. You got to go win a Super Bowl, Lamar. And I think he can. He just got to keep working on his game during the offseason.
So Breeze yesterday looked old. Big Ben looked old. Phillip Rivers looked old. Brady doesn't. But when you watch Breeze play, do you remember your last game? What did you feel like? What did you look like? I mean, give me your – because I kind of feel like we've seen this coming for about 2 years with Breeze. But, I mean, go back to the end of your career. When did you – what was it? What did you know?
I knew my skills were starting to diminish a little bit, and I knew I could still play. And I think that's probably where Drew Brees is. We're kind of similar to that. And I was watching that game yesterday, and I remember my last game. I was playing against the Carolina Panthers, and honestly, it was the worst game I've ever played. Meaning, I'm not from a physical standpoint, just mentally, I did not like it. I didn't enjoy myself because I knew this was it. And I think towards the end of that game, that second half, especially when it's the inevitable looked like, okay, shoot, they're probably going to lose here. That whole fourth quarter, I could picture in his brain, he's thinking, this is it. I bet he was, when he's putting on his helmet, he's like, this could be the last time I'm ever going to put on my helmet. And now you're worried about that. And it takes you out of the focus of the game. And that's what happened to me my last game. I did not particularly play well. I missed some assignments. I just did not enjoy it. I couldn't wait to get off the field, even though it was my last game and they had the press there. I had my family there. And he knew that's the problem with, if I could go back, I would never have told everybody that I'm going to retire that year. I would have just came out and retired at the end of the year, because that gets in your head psychologically. And maybe that's a part of the reason why he wasn't able to make the plays that he normally does. Yesterday, he did not play as well as he played all year. Maybe that had something to do with it.
Well, it's interesting because I remember talking to you when you were in Atlanta. You just arrived there, and I'd bring you on my show, and you're very much into nutrition, taking care of yourself. So you're a lot like Brady. You didn't have injuries. You played forever. You played a high rate forever. But yesterday I was watching Tom, and I'm like, God, his velocity. There were times I was like, dude, scale it back. The ball's coming out too hot. Are you even with your standards and the way you take care of yourself, do you kind of look at Brady and kind of just like think, what is it? It's a LeBron thing. What is it?
He's taking it, the whole mental game, to the next level. He eats, sleeps, and breathes winning. And he's always done that. And I think as he's gotten older, he's realized that he has to even take that to another level. He's the Jedi master. I'm telling you, the way he can get centered and focused on what matters, it's so impressive to watch. And I think any player out there watching, I don't care, even if just fan, just the he's always constantly thinking how he can get better. He's never satisfied. I love his answer to the question, what was your favorite Super Bowl? He says the next one. And that's the mentality that he takes, and he'll keep doing that for as long as he can. Is he going to come back and play next year? I have no doubt now. Even if he wins a Super Bowl this year, I bet he comes back and plays, because he's got the teammates. He's mastered the take less money. I mean, he's making only, when I say only, comparatively speaking, $25 million to go get players surrounded him. This guy is just in complete control of what it takes to be the greatest quarterback of all time, or at least one of them.
So we're seeing a lot of these coaching hires, Tony, and it's a lot of young guys. Chargers, Brandon Staley, Sean McVay, Zach Taylor, Cincinnati, Cliff Kingsbury. You know, your career, I mean, go back to your career. Do young coaches in the locker room add enthusiasm? Would you worry? How are young coaches viewed compared to veteran coaches? How did you view it?
You know, when I look back at my career, I've never had a young coach ever. Every position coach I've ever had was way older. When I say way older than me, at least 10 years. And shoot, my rookie year, I came in, I think my position coach was 72 years old or something, 73. A great guy. So I've never had the experience with the young coach, but I've talked to players that have had that, and they love it. They love it because you feel like, hey, that generation, like that gap is not there, and they can communicate along the same lines. But I see the youth movement. It's the hot thing right now. Go get yourself a young guy. They feel like they have better ideas or whatever it is. I think Arthur Smith is a great hire for a guy like Matt Ryan. I believe they're close to the same age. They can communicate a little bit better, I guess. But whatever it is, they want to bring these offensive coaches in because of the way the rules are set up now. It absolutely favors the offense, and you put more points up. You see a team like the Chiefs putting up all these points and they're winning Super Bowls with it. I think that's the direction a lot of these teams want to go.
Yeah, I mean, the four best quarterbacks are the four guys left in the four teams. So it's just people, it's self-fulfilling. If you think quarterbacks matter, now you're watching it. As you look at Green Bay, final question, 71% of their plays had motion. They had all these offensive guys 2 years ago, but they didn't look like this. Mike McCarthy's offenses now in Dallas were much more static. And I think to myself sometimes, you know, Aaron's obviously a very heady guy, but there's so much offense and so much movement with Green Bay. And I think I'm surprised they don't have more, you know, penalties. And it feels so elaborate to me. Go back to the most complicated offense. Did it matter to you? Did it force you out of a comfort zone? Because when I watch Green Bay, they are moving constantly. Nothing looks the same. Did you ever plan an offense like that?
Yeah, I did. Going from the West Coast offense to the, I think they call it Don Air Coryell. Al Saunders was our offensive coordinator, came in with Dick Vermeil, with Priest Holmes. I don't know if you guys remember Eddie Kinnison. And we did movement every single play. It seemed like I'd come start to the right, jump over to the left, come in motion, two solar right, double trouble, all five, whatever, jet tube motion, all this stuff. And the reason the coordinator, Al Saunders, would say, the reason we do this is to trick, to get an advantage. We want the defense constantly on his heels, but it does create a lot more confusion for the offensive players. You have to be absolutely dialed in. It was the hardest offense I've ever been in because everything changes too. When you flip-flop, for instance, if they say 363 F shoot post and then you're on the right and you hear a three, it's a different route than if you're on the left and you hear a three. So you really have to be dialed in, and it takes a heady quarterback. It takes heady players. Those players have to be tuned in, tapped in, and ready to go. And if you're not, you're going to have penalties. And I love what LaFleur has done there. They've handled it well. They're dialed in now. I think it's part of that maturation of last year. They were struggling.
Yeah.
Remember, or the last couple of years. But now LaFleur and Aaron, they're on the same page. And maybe it wasn't a difference of personality. It was just a difference of letting the ingredients come together, letting everything settle so we all get on the same page. And now you're seeing it where they're all tuned in, tapped in, and ready to rock.
Yeah. No, this offense, by the way, works significantly better in year two than year one. And to your point, it's so darn it's heavy for players to figure out. So this Matt LaFleur offense, you get Kyle Shanahan offense, it takes like a year for even the quarterback to figure out not just the language, but the speed and the tempo. And it has paid off big dividends for Green Bay. Tony Gonzalez, the Hall of Famer, Fox NFL Kickoff. Good seeing you, bud.
Good seeing you. Take care.
Do you get goosebumps when you get into your car? You would with Mercedes AMG driving performance. OMG AMG. Check it out. Go to their website, mbusa.com/AMG. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Rams season ended Saturday with a 32-18 loss to the Packers. Immediately after the game, Sean McVay said Jared Goff was their quarterback for now, and he committed to be non-committal, continued to be non-committal to Goff when he was asked about it yesterday.
Everything's being evaluated. I'm not ready to make any sort of statements with regards to anybody, you know, starting position or not. We're going to have a level of competition at everything that we do. And so that's where we're at. And I think, being able to take a step back, catch our breath and evaluate everything as we move forward and try to be at our best. That's my answer to the question.
Oh, boy, that was interesting.
Well, four seasons are left on Goff's $110 million guaranteed contract. But Goff looked a little off this season. This is starting to feel like a little like the Todd Gurley situation, where it's like all season long, it's like everything's fine, everything's good. The Rams are like that. Like, they're not going to let anything
disrupt.
Well, they're just not going to confirm anything. It's almost very like Patriot-like. Like, it's kind of in quiet in-house. And then once they move on from a player, we kind of see what the situation was.
I will say this. I did think, like, I thought they were overpaying Brandon Cooks. But boy, I thought in the last month, they have no over-the-top receiver. So the offense is a series of like 4 to 11 yard. They don't have a pop play. They don't have any, you know, Buffalo brings Stephon. Remember Buffalo last year, didn't have a deep threat.
Look at the four teams who are still in the playoffs.
Pop players.
We're talking all about quarterbacks. All of them have playmakers that they can get big chunk yardage like that with. Now, obviously, they have the quarterback that can get it to them, but I don't think that Goff isn't that quarterback. He's lost a little bit of confidence. They don't have an over-the-top threat.
They don't. I mean, we watched him out-duel Mahomes on a Monday Night Football game. They really do. It's a very good organization, and they've drafted very well. Their secondary is full of talent. They need to go out, and they've got good receivers, but either Van Jefferson can run, and they're not asking him to run deep, but they've got to get Goff's deep ball back. He throws a beautiful deep ball. He needs to get – not every drive can be 11 plays.
Yeah.
That's one of the things with Cleveland is they don't really have a burner. Like Jarvis Landry's not a burner. They have good tight ends. You can't make Baker have 13-play drives. It's just you got to give him an occasional over-the-top play.
Well, also that works during the regular season, but when you're getting into shootouts in the playoffs and you need to score in 30 seconds.
And you have the best coaches and best coordinators and best defensive backs. You need the occasional free touchdown.
I don't think that we are not going to see Goff, though. That's a lot of money. $110 million. We're going to have to figure this out.
They're
going to
try to solve it for 2 years.
As they should.
And some of that's going to be, and if it doesn't work.
We've seen him do it.
Yeah.
So we've seen him have the capability of taking a team to the Super Bowl. So figure it out. Okay. The Eagles. So they have committed to Wentz moving forward, obviously moving off of Doug Peterson. But there's a lot of noise in Philadelphia about him not being the easiest quarterback to work with. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, he did not like being coached hard and had trouble taking blame for any of his mistakes. And the disconnect between Wentz and Doug Peterson was there even before he was benched for Jalen Hurts. There were reportedly times when Wentz would change a play for no other reason than he didn't like it. You're not Aaron Rodgers. And with one source calling it a pissing match between coach and quarterback.
Wow.
Another quote from the source said, every great quarterback wants to be coached, and they want to be coached hard and by the best. It doesn't seem like Wentz wants that. Mm. It's kind of like whoever's coaching him is working for him. But it can't be that way.
That's interesting. He was probably the man in North Dakota, and then you get to the NFL and you're just one among men, and you got to be coached sometimes.
I told you when Doug Peterson was fired and this conversation first came out that they weren't getting along. I don't know what that's about. I don't understand that. I don't have time for it. If I was writing the checks there, I would have a real serious problem with why you guys can't get along. Like, you make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Get along.
Well, guys are different.
I mean,
we like to get our way occasionally.
Ridiculous. What do you mean you don't want to be coached? So you have all the answers?
No, we don't think like that, but sometimes.
No, but I'm saying, like, in this Wentz situation, like, I don't want to hear that you can't be coached.
Well,
that's absurd.
So yeah, listen, if these are true, he's going to have to figure that out. Get a therapist. Figure that out.
You've
got to be coachable.
You have to. So the Lions are expected to hire Saints assistant head coach and tight ends coach Dan Campbell as their new head coach. He's never been a coordinator in the league, but he did fill in after the Dolphins fired Joe Philbin in 2015. He also played 10 seasons in the NFL, including 3 years with the Lions. I have to be honest, I don't get it. But it's
not
the Detroit Lions,
would not have made this hire. I don't get it either. And it's funny because all the cliches I hear, oh, he's a man's man, he's alpha. All right, that's great. That's kind of like, you got to be a little bit of an alpha. That's sort of like the foundation of the house and the roof. That's where you start, but you have a kitchen and bathrooms. Let's have a little bit more nuanced discussion beyond the player's kind of coach.
The Lions.
Enough.
The Lions have won one playoff win in the Super Bowl era. They have one playoff win in the Super Bowl era and last won the division in 1993. Stop hiring people that make you feel good and hire someone who knows how to build a culture in an organization. They want to hire someone who's a motivator. Get a psychologist. Get like a pep guy to come in and I don't know, paint some murals on the wall. What are you talking about?
Like, Tony Robbins is a great motivational speaker. But in the end, he doesn't take over the companies. He gives advice to elevate the companies. Motivation's great. Give me your playbook.
That's my issue everyone fell in love with Dan Campbell in Miami when he came in. And it was a bit of an overcorrection for fans because you had Joe Philbin, who's a very like quiet, methodical guy, good man, not a big over-the-top speaker, not dramatic, not enthusiastic. And then you have Dan Campbell coming in here, like, busting out of his medium shirt and screaming about running through a wall. And, like, that's great, but you have to have more than extra motivation to win games.
Yes. The motivation has a ceiling.
And I don't even think that he shouldn't get another job. I'm just saying the Lions need so much.
Listen, Tony Robbins, the late George Carlin used to always joke about Tony Robbins. If you have the motivation to get in your car and go see him, you don't need Tony Robbins. If you can say, I'm going to go to Pensacola this weekend to watch Tony Robbins and drive 6 hours, George Carlin said, you're motivated. You just got to get off the couch and stop eating Doritos all day. But you got some motivation in you.
You just want to feel good.
Yeah. All right, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
Our
News.
Our final football three-word game of the season.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
And finally today, we do our best for last. It's our final three-word NFL game of the season. We are running out of games and running out of teams. We do believe that three words can succinctly describe and force us to describe the playoff action this weekend. Here we go with our three-word divisional round. Rams. McVay, a McProblem. They have the fifth least salary cap space in the league next year. 4 years remaining and cap hits with Jared Goff, who had 13 interceptions this year, broke his thumb late in the season. So they got to figure out some things. They got to get faster at wide receiver, and they've got to get Jared Goff his confidence back. Quarterbacks who are losing confidence, who are expensive, get people fired. Packers, a welcome mat. 16-2 now at home with Matt LaFleur, best in the NFL, 28-7 overall. They did not have a turnover against the Rams, so this offensive system carved by Matt LaFleur, 11 total turnovers, fewest in the NFL this year. It is efficient. It is multiple. 71 plays by Matt LaFleur had motion, and at this point, they look like the best team left. Ravens. Lamar unravels again. 4 touchdowns and 7 giveaways in 4 playoff games. Found himself in a lot of 2nd and 15s and 3rd and 9s. Third straight season with Lamar and the Ravens had their season low in points in a playoff game. You're facing better defenders and you're facing better coaches. I would also like to add, they've got to get better wide receivers. It is, in my opinion, the team's weakness. Bills. Flawed, but fantastic. First team in NFL history without a rushing attempt in the first quarter of a playoff game. Brian Daboll went heavy with the pass. The Ravens outgained the Bills, dominated time of possession, converted more third downs. But the Bills are a Hail Mary away from a 12-game winning streak. They don't run the ball. Sometimes they don't defend the run. But they got playmakers, and they're well coached. Browns, the right direction. First playoff win since 94. First winning season in 13 years. Most wins since 1986. They have the number one graded offensive line. They have the right coach. Baker Mayfield played with poise and maturity. They're headed in the right direction. Chiefs, anything is possible. Chad Henne came in. You know, when you go back to the Browns and the Chiefs, what is remarkable about this is how early Mahomes went out. He left the game, Joy, with almost 8 minutes left in the third quarter. It's not like he was gone for a series. How do you win a playoff game when you lose your star quarter? What if Baker would have left the Browns with 8 minutes in the third? They lost by 4 touchdowns. But Andy Reid, this was the gut check call of the year. Henne had a couple of nice scrambles. He had one really awful pick. But in the end, 35 years old, first career playoff game. Good for Chad Henne and good for Andy Reid calling it. Bucks, Tom versus time. He's going to start a conference championship game in 3 different decades. Doesn't even sound right. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown combined for just 61 yards. It was not pretty. They beat the Saints. Rough times ahead. Listen, they're projected to be $95 million over the cap. $95 million. they got to make some trades. They got to what they have to do is get rid of some big contracts and hit about four or five home runs in the draft, because my guess is for at least a year, it's going to be pretty lean. And finally, your two matchups, Bucks and Packers, only gets tougher. Listen, the Rams defense, number one in the league, got cut up into pieces. And the Bucks and Brady did score all of their touchdowns off four turnovers. You're not getting four turnovers at Lambeau from Aaron Rodgers. So the going is only getting tougher for Tom Brady and the Bucks. And Lambeau's weather, go check out weather.com, could be an issue. And Bills Chiefs, Mahomes, be healthy. Listen, 15 TDs, no picks in five career home playoff starts. 24-1 in his last 25 starts. Even though I said the Bills were the better football team all year, if he's healthy, it is hard to bet against Kansas City. That was a very interesting concussion. To Trent Dilfer's point, he did not slam his head down. It was almost like
a choke out or
like
something.
A little bit of a choke out. So a lot of people were on Jim Nance. They said, hey, you're not a doctor on the concussion. But when your quarterback gets up and wobbles like that, that's Wes Welker had a couple of those end of his career. You're like, all right, let's get him off the field. That's not what we want. So if he plays, the line is basically Kansas City's favored by a field goal if Mahomes plays. And Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Fox Bet, are favored by 3.5. Over Tampa. I would bet Green Bay. Green Bay was my favorite bet this weekend. Green Bay would be my favorite of the two this weekend. All right, for joining everybody here and John Goulet, nice Monday. Back tomorrow. Be safe. That was a heck of a weekend. Going to be hard to duplicate that. We'll try. In L.A., it's The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.